Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. East German demonstrators demanding reforms from their hardline communist rulers have gotten their answer in the form of police beatings and mass arrests. Last night's violence in East Berlin began when riot police beat protesters leaving a church where about 5,000 people had gathered for a vigil. From across the wall, correspondent Tom Fenton reports.
Foreign newsmen have been barred from East Germany this morning. Eric Honecker's regime wants no outside witnesses as it proceeds with the nasty business of crushing dissent. The crackdown was in full swing last night as foreign newsmen were leaving the country. Police were rounding up people outside Gethsemane Church in East Berlin. The church has been one of the centers of opposition to the hardline regime. East Germany's 40th anniversary celebrations over the weekend were marred by widespread demonstrations in at least half a dozen cities. In East Berlin, people shouted, "Happy birthday, police state," as police waded in to arrest demonstrators. Most of the violence appears to be on the police side. They smashed the demonstrations with brutal efficiency. Coming on top of the mass escape to the west of almost 50,000 East German citizens, all this is a serious blow to the Honecker regime. It seems to be losing any international credibility it had, as well as credibility at home. Tom Fenton, CBS News, West Berlin.
Hungary's leaders, by contrast, now officially ex-communist, today committed themselves to multi-party elections and a market-based economy. But as Anthony Mason reports, reformers are still not satisfied.
With democracy now the first word in its platform, Hungary's ruling party is supposed to be shiny, new, and non-communist. But almost all the old faces are still there. Even leading reformer Imre Pajgai has spent his life in the communist ranks. Opposition leader Gaspar Tamás says only the name has really changed.
The gray mass of apparatchiki will stay within the party. Well, they're paid by the party. Where can they go?
Some disgruntled hardliners are threatening to walk out and form another communist party. But that may be just what the reformers want. They need someone to blame for the party's past mistakes now that they're facing the first free elections in 40 years. But it'll take more than a name change to make Hungarians forget the old communist party. Even for those who may want to, there are still plenty of red stars around to remind them. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Budapest.
And in the Soviet Union, rail workers in Azerbaijan are still defying a nationwide ban on transport strikes, blocking desperately needed supplies from reaching rival Armenia. As Jonathan Sanders reports, the ethnic conflict is getting bloodier.
Now even Pravda is saying it. News from Nagorno-Karabakh increasingly is reminiscent of reports from a war zone. Bloody clashes have become part of daily life in the Armenian enclave that is deep inside Azerbaijan. Armed guerrilla groups have swung into action. Overnight, an automobile bridge was blown up. Soviet soldiers are holding a group of young Azerbaijanis who were shooting up an Armenian village. And a group of Armenians attempted an armed assault on an Azerbaijan settlement. Despite strong pressure from Moscow, the blockade of Nagorno-Karabakh continues. Only an airlift provides meager supplies to the troubled region. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
The 1989 Nobel Prize in Medicine has gone to American cancer researchers J. Michael Bishop and Harold Varmus of the University of California at San Francisco. The Stockholm Karolinska Institute chose them for their work to identify a large family of genes that controls the normal growth and division of cells. Dr. Varmus was surprised at the news.
It's exciting, but also I don't think any of us are secure enough to feel that we necessarily belong there, but suddenly find ourselves there, and it's more staggering than I thought it would be.
His colleague, Dr. J. Michael Bishop, explained they tracked the origin of the cancer virus.
It had been shown by other workers that this virus caused cancer because it carried a particular gene, a particular set of genetic information. And what we did was to discover that that had come from the cell.
The researchers, according to the Nobel citation, published the remarkable conclusion that the oncogene in the virus did not represent a true viral gene, but instead was a normal cellular gene. 6 days after surviving Panama's latest coup attempt, General Manuel Noriega is working to consolidate his power. As James Hattori tells us, the U.S. military was poised to step in last Tuesday, just 600 yards from where the fighting raged.
Pictures taken by the U.S. Southern Command show U.S. troops were nearby and on alert during the attempted overthrow of General Manuel Noriega by Panamanian rebels last week, in positions closer than previously reported. Soldiers watched from a vantage about a half mile away near enough to see rebel Panamanian troops and their captives.
El Batallón 2000!
On Panamanian television, Noriega thanked some of his rescuers, the Battalion 2000, and he thanked the Panamanian people for, quote, supporting him through these times of crisis. James Hattori, CBS News, Panama City.
Meanwhile, in Washington, Bush administration officials remain on the defensive over their handling of the little coup that couldn't. The countdown clock has just begun for the nation's next shuttle mission. Scott Pelley reports there could be a legal glitch.
The space shuttle Atlantis and its five astronauts are scheduled to launch the probe Thursday if the mission is not grounded in federal court. Environmentalists have filed suit claiming nuclear generators that power Galileo, called RTGs, would be unsafe in a crash. NASA estimates the chance of a radiation leak at 1 in 2,500, but that does not satisfy environmentalist Wendy Loomis.
What if that 1 in 2,500 chance happens and we're here and we breathe that in? I'm not willing to take that chance.
The court hearing is scheduled for Tuesday. If the judge says go, Atlantis is expected to lift off at 1:29 Thursday afternoon. Scott Pelley, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Baseball could be headed for a commuter World Series now that the Oakland A's have won the playoffs with the Toronto Blue Jays. Christine Negroni reports.
The Oakland Athletics go home to California in possession of an American League pennant. They have achieved what many Californians hope the San Francisco Giants can soon accomplish, bringing the area its first ever Bay Area World Series. Outside Toronto, there were few who doubted Oakland would win the American League championships. Oakland made the playoffs and its reputation as unstoppable by triumphing despite the mid-season injuries of several of its stars. Manager Tony La Russa.
We got big hearts, we have big desire and intensity, and that's why you win games like we did here. Two out of three in this place is hard to do.
In a sport which loves record-making numbers, the A's are particularly proud that by winning this series, it becomes the first team in a decade to win the pennant 2 years in a row. Christine Negroni, CBS News, Toronto.
And the Giants lead the Cubs in their series 3-1. White House officials confirm that President Bush has decided to continue chemical weapons production even after a global treaty takes effect, calling for destruction of existing stockpiles. The officials say the U.S. has always said it would continue to improve chemical weapons as long as there is a residual stockpile, so they will be safe. A Pan Am 747 flying from New York to Spain with more than 200 passengers on board lost power in one engine over the Atlantic overnight. It turned back for a safe landing at Gander, Newfoundland. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down 1.5 points at 2784. 10 past 7.